Research says about 1 in 10 kids will be sexually abused by their 18th birthday. Research further states that only 1 in 10 of those kids will tell that they have been abused. Based on these statistics, we can assume that in Denton County, where there are approximately 200,000 kids, 20,000 will be sexually abused, but only 2,000 will tell.
Welcome to Tuesday Talks. Yamuna, those statistics are astounding. I can hardly take it in. It breaks my heart and it makes me angry. I imagine our audience is feeling some of those same things right now. Tonight, we're going to get really close to home and discuss some of the sad and all too frequent things that are happening in our county to exploit both children and adults. Welcome to Tuesday Talks, a podcast from Little Elm ISD that connects parents and experts on the hottest topics affecting Little Elm students and families. Tuesday Talks is also an on-site, in-person discussion group that meets monthly at Little Elm High School and is hosted by Little Elm's intervention counselors, Adriana Beck, and myself, Deborah Deverich, along with our family facilitator, Yamile Quintero. Every month, we talk to an expert and bring you the information you need to know about important issues facing today's students. I'm your host, Deborah Deverich, the middle school intervention counselor for Little Elm ISD. I've been with Little Elm for 5 years and spend my days helping kids find school success, particularly when they are experiencing difficulties personally, behaviorally, or academically. Here to talk with us tonight is Yamuna Teeter, Education Specialist at Children's Advocacy Center for Denton County. Welcome, Yamuna.
Thank you for having me here.
Yamuna, the Children's Advocacy Center for Denton County is serving on the front lines. You're helping children and families in times of deep crisis. Tell our audience about your center.
Well, Children Advocacy Centers are nationwide. There are 71 in Texas. Our CAC covers all of Denton County. We support the investigation, prosecution, and healing of child abuse cases of sexual abuse, severe physical abuse, child death, and child witness of traumatic events. We work closely with DFPS and every Denton County law enforcement jurisdiction, providing specialized forensic interviewing, advocacy services, therapy, and court support. Our advocacy program supports the family all the way through prosecution. Additionally, we have educational opportunities for our community that are offered to both children and adults. So far this year, 2019, we have educated 1,979 adults in recognizing and reporting child abuse training, as well as internet safety for parents. We've also educated, in partnership with the Denton County Sheriff's Office, 6,024 children on internet safety. That teaches children how to recognize, resist, and report child abuse. And we've had over 150 presentations thus far.
Awesome. And how many children have you had in the center this year? You say about 2,000 are going to report. Do all 2,000 come to the center?
We've had about 1,000 this year so far that have come to the center.
Okay. Well, also with us today is Deputy Josh Godai, and he is with the Denton County Sheriff's Office. Deputy Godai, you've been with the Sheriff's Office for, what, 18 years?
Yes, ma'am, just over 18 years now.
But you and Yamuna are doing some unusual deputy work these days. Will you tell our audience what you two have been working on this fall?
The collaboration between the Sheriff's Office and the Children's Advocacy Center, we've actually teamed up to go into schools for students to do presentations. We cover internet safety, social media safety, child exploitation, human trafficking. We cover it all because we have to spread the awareness about this because it starts with these kids because they are the target victims.
Speaking directly to students in Denton County, that's pretty powerful. How are the students responding?
Actually, a lot better than I could have ever imagined. Often, kids are coming up to us afterwards thanking us for being there, which that's not something I'm really used to seeing in
from
my
a
world,
high schooler.
Right. And, you know, we've had some disclosures come out after the presentation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are always hard to deal with. But kind of the good thing we have is you have the law enforcement side and the counseling side attached to it.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes if we have an outcry, we have somebody for more of that side than my mm-hmm. side. And it's the collaboration's really good.
Yes.
I'm very proud of it.
That's a fantastic partnership between your two organizations. As parents, we are desperate to keep our children safe, but we're not always with them when they're on social media or playing a video game. We can't be there every minute. So let's start talking a little bit about social media. Is it all bad? Are we just supposed to ban them from it completely?
our presentations, especially when we're speaking to the adults, we're not anti-social media at all.
Okay.
It's out there. Kids are going to have it. A lot of the kids that aren't allowed to have it will actually just go to school and download it every day.
Right.
So everything we've seen, everything we've worked with, I mean, every app has the potential to be good. Every app has mm-hmm. the potential to be bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because some people say, my kid can have an Instagram account, but they can't have Snapchat because Snapchat's horrible. And then just this year, it's recently coming out of a case in Florida right now that a predator was actually able to get in and assault children through a Bible app.
Oh,
where
my.
They just have, you can make a small group mm-hmm. and talk to people through the app, and a predator infiltrated that. So, you know, you can't sit here and say every app is good, every app is bad, especially when you have something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're going to find ways to get to kids, and we have to make sure the kids are educated and be able to protect themselves, protect each other, and be able to protect their little brothers and little sisters on
right.
these things.
So banning it is not the answer, but educating them is what you're
and
saying.
And educating those grown-ups, those parents in their lives. That's been a
sure.
huge outreach effort on our part, is really reaching out to parents in the different school districts and trying to get them to come to programming to learn this information themselves so that they can have those really authentic conversations with their children about the content that their children have learned at school through our presentations, and now they have a way to speak to one another mm-hmm. About kind of all this information that they've just gotten.
Mm-hmm. It seems like every few months there's a new app though. It's and then this one's popular all the time. There's some I've never even heard of. So that might be the point for the kids. The adults have never heard of it. But what's a way for parents to keep up with these new things coming on?
You know, it's really hard. I mean, even for us, we try to really stay on top of it. And, you know, the amazing part for us is we have a focus group every time we do a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
That often these kids will tell us, oh, hey, have y'all heard about this new app? Have y'all heard mm-hmm. about this new app? And, I mean, that's the easiest way for us to stay up to date on it. You know, as for parents, again, communication.
Right.
If you're not talking to your kids about these things, it just makes it really hard. Because if that kid's afraid, if they have an app that they're not supposed to have, and someone sends them a message or a picture or something that scares them or they know they shouldn't have it, you know, I'd much rather that kid go ahead and come forward knowing they might get in trouble because they have that communication. Say, Mom, I know I wasn't supposed to have this. Someone sent me this message. What can I do?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that shows a lot of maturity for these kids, because parents didn't grow up with social media like these kids are now.
Right. I said to you guys the other day, you know, these are the first generation of parents raising kids who have grown up with social media. We don't have 25 years of research on how to parent, you know, because nobody's done it before. But what you said about that communication, when I talk with kids a lot on campus, we boil it down over and over. The kids come with the same answer. How do you build a relationship? It's two things. You talk to each other.
Yes.
And you're in the same room.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be in the same room. So as parents, you got to be. They can't always be in their room. They got to just, even if they're still on their phone, they're in the room.
Be present.
You, right?
Be present.
Mm-hmm. So when you guys talk about social media, what are some of the main points you make to kids?
I think one of the first points that we really go into is that these things aren't going to go away. Mm. Whatever you're posting, it's going to be there forever, be it someone taking a screenshot of it, or there's websites that just keep track of deleted tweets. I mean,
ooh,
these things can be around forever. You know, we show the kids a lot of mainstream stories of celebrities getting in trouble for their social media accounts. And, you know, we change our presentation probably every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And keep it very updated with everything that we can. And that's what we try to tell these kids, because parents oftentimes don't understand. They think, I deleted it, it's gone. And it's going to be there forever. So that's one of the main things we talk to the kids about, mm-hmm. that you really have to be careful what information you're putting out there now. Because, and a lot of times these kids have public accounts. They don't even have it on private. So if you have a public account, some of these, one of the kids the other day told us that they have 5,000 followers on a social media platform. Okay. And so we went into that, and they only knew about 100 of the people that follow mm-hmm. them. So there's 4,900 people watching them, and they post very frequently. So they're posting their lives every single day to 4,900 strangers. And so, you know, we talk to the kids that you might as well be going around Walmart passing out your pictures, because it's the same difference. And then when you say it like that, kids are like, oh, I would never do that.
I would never do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what they're doing online every day. Yeah. Again, we're not against social media, but we're trying to get these kids to protect themselves, protect each other, and protect their little brothers and little sisters now.
So you're talking to kids about how to kind of filter.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. How to filter what they post. And do you have, like, anything different that you say to parents about how to teach this filtering? How to, something to help a parent with that?
Well, we talk to parents, for one, know the apps that are on your children's phone.
Okay.
You can do that through not just kind of that snooping or monitoring apps, but by really talking to them, again, mm-hmm. being in that same room with them, really in an authentic, organic way. You're sitting on the couch together, maybe you're playing a game together, you're mm-hmm. iMessaging together, but you know kind of what's on their phone and what is the purpose of that app. Who are they communicating with? Are they friends on that app with their actual friends that they know in real life? Or who are their followers? You know, what is the content that they're posting? Mm-hmm. And just have them kind of go through it. Again, not in an invasive way that we're trying to, you know everything you're doing, but tell me more about that. Mm-hmm. Really some open-ended questions. And we get this yeah. all the time with children. When we talk to them in a really open way, they talk to us.
They talk back.
And they're kind of excited to mm-hmm. be able to share that information. A lot of the times the children are using a lot of privacy settings. So they do know I have my location off on this app, or I'm only friends. I only play this game with people that I actually know from school. So they're, a lot of them are doing pretty good things. And then we have other students that just hadn't thought about it in that way before.
So
we hear a lot of mumbling a lot of times leaving the classroom, like, I'm going to go set my account on private when they're walking out. We hear that every presentation. That's good feedback for us.
And like TikTok. TikTok's probably one of the most popular apps right now. And kids, even when we bring it up, they're like, yeah, I have it, but I don't really like to admit it. even with that app, it's mainly teenagers that are posting on this app, but it's mainly adults that are on the app. You don't even have to have an account. All you have to do is download the app, and you can just start watching kids' videos. So, I mean, that's very scary for kids that are posting these things on there. And, I mean, sometimes it's, you know, 12, 13-year-old boys, girls provocatively dressed. So, I mean, it's just like a predator super playground. So we're saying, hey, I know it's great, I know it's fun, but you have to know your audience.
You've got to filter, and that word filter just keeps mm-hmm. ringing in my mind mm-hmm. right here. So we know technology has a social and emotional impact on children. Let's transition into some online dangers, in particular online gaming. Now, we know this is a huge concern because kids are playing with someone they consider their friend, but in reality, like you just said before, they're strangers. And that's what really scares me a lot. And this even filters down into the elementary level. How do we talk to our kids? Do you have any tips about these supposed online friends?
I think a lot of it is, you know, you have to really, really, really press that they don't know who they're talking to. Mm-hmm. You might be talking to somebody for 6 months, and is that really who it is? Or are they really another 13-year-old? And, you know, the main thing that we're seeing is when the predators are on online gaming, they're going to play the games of the kids they're looking for.
Right.
So if they're looking for an 8-year-old, they're not going to be playing war games on PlayStation. They're going to be doing something more like playing Roblox or Minecraft. They're going to be looking for their target audience. And again, you know, that's why we talk to the kids about protecting younger brothers, younger sisters, mm-hmm. because often, you know, these kids are, especially when they're younger, we talk about, they're very proud they know their address. You know, that's one of the things, even parents, you know, when your kid mm-hmm. learns your address, you're like, you know, hey, tell grandma your address. Mm. And they're like, I live at 555 4th Street or whatever. And so the kids are very proud of that. Well, these people know that. So they might talk to them a little while and they're like, well, do you know where you live? And you're like, yeah, I live at da 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 da. And, you know, that's really scary. Also, you know, we really, the online gaming world has exploded in the last 10 years. I mean, it is massive. So we try to tell the kids, you don't know really who is that other person on the other side unless, you know, you've called your friend, you have usernames for each other. And, you know, the scary part is these people are asking to meet off the games. Right. And you can completely build relationships online. We know this. I mean, look at the amount of people that are getting married off online dating now. I mean, it's huge. But they're going to meet these people and they're, hey, keep this between us. Make sure you don't tell your mom. If you're a kid and you want to meet this person, talk to your parents and say, hey, I mean, kind of like, you know, the pen pals of the old days.
Right.
You know, talk to your parents. Say, hey, I've been talking to this person. They want to, you know, meet for the first time together. They don't live that far away. You know, include your parents on something like that. Because if they're telling you don't tell your parents, why are they saying that? So if it was just another kid wanting to meet you, they wouldn't be saying, hey, make
don't
sure this
tell.
Stays between us, right?
Right?
It's, you know, have your mom call my mom kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, the secret keeping. And so we talk to children starting in third grade about the differences between secrets and surprises, and secret keeping is very discouraged. Especially, we use this example in particular, you know, if you're asked to keep that quiet, you need to absolutely bring in another adult into that conversation anytime you're asked to meet up, because that online, you know, solicitation, that is what happens there. So just teaching them how to be safe in that way. It's a simple step.
And to our audience, I want to say, please remember that Yamuna and Josh work in Denton County. They're not talking about, you know, Australia. They're not talking about California. They're talking about our county. And these are things that are happening, and we need to be informed and be aware and like you said, educating our kids.
There's so many misconceptions, especially like if we're talking, you know, we talk to the kids about human trafficking.
Right.
It's very real. It's here. 70% of all first contact of human traffickers is coming through social media now. It's not following you around Walmart and approaching you in the parking lot. I mean, I see this post once a week.
Yes, there's this person in Walmart.
You just change the city or change the Walmart, and that's not how it's happening. I mean, there could absolutely be one to two stray things. I understand that. But all they have to do is get on social media to target these kids. They don't have to go out and... If you walked into Walmart and snatched somebody yelling and screaming, everybody and their cousin's going to call the cops after they get done filming it, of course. Everyone's going to be calling in. That person's not going to be able to get far. But if they go online and groom these people, and we cover grooming extensively, Yamuna does an amazing job of that. We talk to these kids about online grooming, because someone can go on there, talk to a kid for months. They don't have to go kidnap that kid. That kid will walk out of their house and willingly get into their car. So that's a big piece of what we're trying to talk to these kids about.
So earlier you mentioned something about the settings. You talked about location. So let's talk a minute, just as parents, what kind of settings are on the games and on these things so we can tighten this online security?
With the games, it kind of depends on your child's age. A lot of them, because a lot of the games, they have the geographing that you can do, which will say exactly where you are. It'll say your username Denton, Texas, right? You can turn that part of it off. Younger kids, I mean, we're talking 5-year-olds playing some of these games. They don't need to have a chat feature. It's just
turn it off.
Just turn off the chat.
Let them play the game.
But you can have fun.
A lot of these games have, you know, just a single player option, but the fun part is playing online. And from something simple as to Roblox all the way up to Call of Duty, I mean, you can delete other people. You can mute other people. You can play online without ever talking to someone else.
Okay.
So, again, I'm not saying having those features turned on is bad, but younger kids, that's, you know, I don't really think a 5-6-year-old should be communicating online with other people. Because, I mean, the layer of vulnerability that they have is, you know, insane. When you're 15, 16, Right, you're able to understand a lot more things. And so, you know, I can't say online gaming's bad. I've done it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do it now still sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I kind of know what's going on the other side.
Yeah. Now, earlier when you were talking, you used the word predator. That's a pretty scary word. Help us understand how parents can empower their children to recognize the potential dangers.
Let me first start off by saying that we do use this word when we are talking to children in the classroom settings, really more starting in the sixth grade level, okay? So we keep our presentations very age appropriate. We do let children know child abuse statistics, particularly in Denton County at our center. We do share with them that last year, the children that came into our center, 98% of those children identified that they were abused by someone that they both knew and trusted. So this could have been a family member, a family relative, a family of the friend, a teacher, a pastor, a coach, anyone that was kind of in their immediate setting, and even the family perhaps trusted. So when we think of predator, it can also be someone that child knows. So we first off go into that. Also, we talk about kind of current law enforcement, and I'll let you speak on that, the stings there when we're talking about predators.
We do. The Sheriff's Office, we've done a handful of these stings in cooperation with other agencies where we will go online and have fake profiles of 12, 13, 14-year-old boys, girls. And it's not a secret. All these, you know, when we do them, we send it out to every news station, right? Yay us, we're taking these predators off the streets. But the amount of people that are getting arrested in these stings is scary. We're talking, you know, a 2-3 day sting, 20 people. You know, I think just the stings alone in the last year, there's been over 60 arrested just that way. So it's been, and you know, that is right here in Denton County. We're not talking pulling them out of Dallas, anything like that. So that's very scary. So they're out there and we're trying to protect these kids and let them know what's going on.
Yeah. The internet is enormous. And it can impact our children's daily lives. What other information, before we go, would you guys like to share with families as we navigate this cyber world?
Talk to your children. Talk to your kids. Talk to your kids. It's not a one-time conversation. Also, in our parent presentations, we provide some different educational material, different resources they can take with them on preventing child sexual abuse. It is not a one-hour presentation that you're going to learn everything you need to know, and then your child's going to be safe forever. Does not work like that. It is a start, though. It's a guide. It's a conversation. Just like in many ways, you have to talk to your child many times about this. You don't want to kind of scare them or overexpose them to information that's not age-appropriate and might do more harm than good, but you do need to continuously talk to them and know what they're doing and connect with them. And that makes them less vulnerable when someone is really trying that online grooming, trying to fill that need.
Yeah.
Always identifying a trusted adult. Thank you for that. So that is always a piece of our presentations, is we will wait until children will identify who can they go to. If they have a question about anything, it doesn't even have to be a major issue. What adult can you go to that is in your life? Yes, and many. We have them mention many of those adults. So they may say, parent, grandparent, guardian, teacher, older brother, you know, maybe that's over that age of 18, someone in their community, even a neighbor, kids have said, someone that they can talk to if they need help. And we say, absolutely, and you could talk to any one of us. And we always point out all the adults in the room. We let them know in the state of Texas, any adult, so over the age of 18, they must report even the suspicion of suspected, you know, child abuse in any way. So we encourage those children, if they have come forward and nothing has happened, or that adult did not report that abuse, to not be silenced, to speak up again. And we have had, like he mentioned, disclosures after presentations. Children will come up and they do feel safe now. We've had this conversation and they will disclose their child abuse or child sexual abuse even. So that's a huge.
So many parents have, you know, approached us and said, oh, you know, I don't need to worry about this. I have this monitoring app on my child's phone. And I'm not going to name any of them because I'm not affiliated with anyone. But if you just put a monitoring app on your kid's phone as a Band-Aid and you don't look any further than that, if you just say, I have the monitoring app so I know my child is safe, Every single monitoring app that's out there, throughout our middle school presentations, these middle school kids have told us how to defeat every monitoring app we've seen so far.
Wow.
So, I mean, like I said, just talking to these kids, they want to talk about what they know, right? They want to talk about themselves. They want to talk about their lives. So when we bring up something like a monitoring app, they'll tell us, oh, I know this came out last week, but if you just do this, 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 you can get around it altogether. So again, the number one thing with these parents is you've got to communicate with your kids now. You can't just, you know, a cell phone is a lot of power. It's unprecedented in our world. You know, I can't imagine having that much power in my hands whenever I was younger.
When you were 15.
I mean, it's anything in the world is a Google search away now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see 10-year-olds, they have everything right there in their hand. So everybody around, all the kids know these monitoring apps, they defeat within days. But so many parents just want to say, I have that, so I'm good. I don't need to worry about it. And it's just not a Band-Aid. You have to have that communication with your kids.
Technology is a part of our lives. We know it was developed to help us at our jobs and connect us and provide us information when we need it. But we also know it's easy to become consumed with technology to the exclusion of human contact. There are a lot of mental health implications for our kids when they go overboard with technology. Parents, it's up to us to become informed about the dangers and the benefits of technology, and then guide our kids to wise decision making. Yamuna and Josh, I just want to thank you so much for being here today. This is incredible information. It's just so powerful. It's current and real, and I appreciate you so much. We appreciate your work at the Children's Advocacy Center and your work, Josh, with the Denton County Sheriff's Department. And I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. Visit www.littleelmisd.net. Support services, and then select counseling services. You can find Tuesday Talks there. They can be found online. And also there, you can find dates for our upcoming in-person live discussions. Our next session is Tuesday, January 21st at 6 p.m. at Little Elm High School. I will be there along with our intervention counselor for our high school, Adriana Beck, and our family facilitator, Yamile Quintero. We will be back next time with an important conversation about cyberbullying.